This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey friends, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is your host, Jessica Cabrera. I'm excited to be here today with my guest, Jennifer Bertuna. Jennifer is on staff at Burke Community Church, where I attend, and she is the Director of Connections, or maybe it's Connections Director, one of the two. But I can tell you, I want to tell you about my connection with Jennifer. So I do not know anything about her faith journey story or really what we're going to talk about today. So I can't wait to learn. But I will tell you how I met her for the first time. She was the person who called me after I visited this church for the first time. And I can remember clearly, I was out with my husband. We were exploring a town that's nearby for the first time. I got a phone call, answered it, and it was Jennifer. And I found out she was calling because we have visited the church and she just wanted to reach out and meet us and get to know us and see if there's any questions that we had and so forth. And I can remember right at first when I heard that she was who she was and what she was calling about, thinking that oh my gosh, this conversation is probably going to be gimmicky, you know, like sign up for this or do that, or I don't know, send us your information. But it was not that way at all. She was so authentic and so kind, and she really genuinely made me feel very welcomed and like I really could ask my questions, and that she was being a friend to me and not a gimmicky salesperson from a church. And that was really meaningful to me, honestly. And so it's pretty wild. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here today. I'm excited for this full circle moment of the very first person that I talked to from this church to now sitting here with this podcast ministry and interviewing you to learn about your own personal faith journey. So thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. I remember meeting you and your husband for the first time. So
yeah, isn't that wild?
Yeah.
So now I get to hear about your faith journey, which I love to hear about people's faith journeys, and I can't wait. I know nothing, so we're just going to start from ground zero, and I'd like for you to tell me about your background. I don't know where you're from. I don't know anything about you. I mean, it's kind of weird, right? But tell me about your background, and then tell me how you came into a faith relationship with Jesus.
Okay. So I am a mom of two girls, ages 25 and 22, been married for 30 years. I've been on staff here at Burke Community Church since 2018. So I was not raised in a Christian home and didn't come to know the Lord until I was an adult. When I was growing up, my parents had no interest in church. Both of them had been raised in denominational churches, different denominations, but didn't have good experiences, so they didn't want any parts of church. My grandmother was the only person that I knew that went to church. So around the age of 10, I just felt this need to go to church. I have no idea why.
And where are you from?
I'm from Maryland. I grew up in Rockville.
Okay.
So I asked my grandmother if she would take me to church with her. So she did. This was a denominational church. It was a beautiful church, historic, stained glass windows, all of it. But it was an extremely dead church. So the average age was like 85. So I like blew the age curve by a lot. But I would go with her and we would sit in the balcony, and it was so boring, and I didn't hear the gospel, didn't learn anything, and I would just sit there and count the bald heads to occupy my time. As time went on, I kind of faded away going to church with her, and then when I was 16, I lost a friend very unexpectedly to juvenile diabetes. She went to sleep and didn't wake up, and this really rocked my world because I was trying to make sense out of something that didn't make sense. You know, she was an only child. Her parents were devastated. And just watching this, I wanted to apply some logic to it. And I just couldn't. And I didn't know any Christians. I didn't have anyone in my life that could help me with that. And I would just say to my mom, you know, there couldn't be a God, because a real God would not allow such a horrible thing to happen. And she would say to me, there's definitely a God. I can tell you there's definitely a God. But she didn't have the knowledge to help me work through that. So I just concluded there must not be a God. So from about the age of 16 to 22, I was convinced there wasn't a God. And really what it was, I was angry at him and I just couldn't make sense of it. So that was my conclusion. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in my senior year of college, I took a class with a guy who had recently become a Christian, and he invited me to go to his church. So I did. And this kind of renewed an interest in God for me, but he was a new believer. He didn't have a lot of knowledge. So I graduated from college and got a job with, it was called Defense Nuclear Agency at the time. Now I think it's called Defense Threat Reduction Agency. But I was 21. I was going to be flying to Russia and doing negotiating contracts with Russian nuclear scientists. And this was extremely terrifying for me. And especially because I was raised in a very middle-class family. I'd never even been on a plane before. Mm-hmm. So I remember going to a Christian bookstore and buying myself a cross. And I would wear that cross when I traveled to Russia. I also bought a painting, you know, the famous painting of Jesus knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. So I bought that painting. I still didn't know anything about Jesus other than he was God's son. I didn't know why he came to earth, why he died, any of that. But having that cross was some level of comfort for me. And soon after that, my husband got hired in the same agency. We had a secret office romance, and he was not raised in a Christian home. So he wanted nothing to do with religion. And I remember the first time he came to my apartment and he saw that painting and he looked at me. He's like, "Are you religious?" But we went,
like,
oh. I really wasn't. I was.
Yeah. I've just got I was curious, like, yeah. or something. Yeah.
I was like, no, it's good. So when we decided to get engaged, we had no church connection other than that one that I went to with my grandmother when I was growing up. So we went back to them and asked if they would marry us, and they agreed. So we did our premarital counseling. And when we were having the counseling, I made the comment to the pastor that I wanted to find a church after we got married. And Dan was kind of like hemming and hawing about that. And the pastor looked at him straight in the face and said, "Look, your fiance is seeking God, and you better follow her lead or your marriage is going to fail." And you should have seen Dan's face. That was not what he was expecting to hear at premarital counseling. Mm-hmm. But it had a big impact on him. It did. So after we got married, we found a church in Alexandria where we were living, same denomination that I'd gone to with my grandmother. It was all I knew. So that's where we started. So it was another dead church, but it was actually good for us at the time because we still knew nothing, had no biblical knowledge at all. And this was very non-threatening. It wasn't overwhelming. So it was good. God still used it. So an army chaplain started to attend this church. And in this denomination, they offer a class. And it's a 9-month course called the Discipleship Curriculum. And it goes through the Bible from beginning to end. And you meet 3 hours a week with 12 people, so 12 disciples. So I really wanted to do it because I had never read the Bible. And I was planning to, but Dan didn't want to. And so as I was going to go to this class, very last minute, he decided to join me. And it happened to be one spot left in the class. So this actually, it ended up being a pivotal point for us because we sat down and were reading the Bible for ourselves for the very first time. And we realized there's a lot more that to this gospel story than what we're hearing at this church. So we really need to find a church where we're being fed. Mm-hmm. And shortly thereafter, my dad's life hit rock bottom. He had suffered from depression pretty much his whole life and just never had it treated. And he hit a wall and wanted to kill himself. And so he started to get treatment. And within about 6 weeks, he was a completely transformed person. And what we didn't know at the time was that he had become a Christian. There was somebody at his work that was witnessing to him. So he became a Christian around this same time. So we watched his transformation after becoming a believer and really thought we need to be more serious about our walk. So we did become more serious about it. And shortly thereafter, I became a believer going to my parents' church. I responded to an altar call there. Then we really had like my worst nightmare come true after that. I had always had a fear of not being able to have children. Wasn't really based in anything, but I just had this fear in the back of my mind. So when we decided to start trying to get pregnant, you know, nothing was happening. And I went to the doctor probably earlier on than I would have had I not had this fear. But they ran all the tests on me, couldn't find anything. And then they said, well, we need to check your husband. So they ran tests on him. And I'll never forget this day because I was at work. There was a blizzard going on outside. My husband was coming to pick me up. And the phone rang and it was the doctor. And he said, I have some bad news. Your husband's not going to be able to have children. He has a zero sperm count. So that was a gut punch. Mm-hmm. Certainly not what I had expected to hear. So Dan went through some surgeries and things to try to correct it. And they couldn't correct it. So they told us we would have to do in vitro. So we did. We did one round and it didn't work. So I was going to go back to the doctor and start the procedure again. So I had a appointment on a Thursday, and I received a phone call from somebody at Emmanuel Bible Church, and they said that she had adopted a baby the month before, and she had received a phone call from her adoption attorney and wanted to know if she knew of any couple who might want to adopt this 3-week-old baby girl that was in foster care.
Oh.
So my initial reaction was, no, I have this appointment this afternoon to start the procedure again. And I didn't want to do adoption. You know, I wanted to have biological kids. I wanted to experience pregnancy. So it was not part of my plan at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her no. And then I called my husband and I told him, and he said, wait a minute, this could be an opportunity from God that we'd be stupid to pass up. So I was thinking, we're not going to get picked anyway. You know, I didn't know how to write an adoption profile. So we frantically put together this profile, got it to the attorney that night. This was Thursday, like 10 o'clock at night. Saturday, I was hosting a baby shower for a friend, and the phone was just ringing off the hook the entire day. And this was before like caller ID.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, you know, these telemarketers are so irritated. And then about 3 o'clock, everybody was gone. And I answered the phone and it was the birth mom. She had received our profile and she wanted to meet us. So she came over right then and met with us. So this was Saturday evening. She called me on Sunday and said, I'm going to pull the baby from foster care and give her to you on Wednesday. So I still had a job. We had no baby things. It was crazy. But fortunately, my sister had a baby 2 years before, a girl. So we were able to get a car seat and scrambled everything together, hanging border in the wee hours of the morning the night before she came home. But we brought her home on Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a crazy time. I learned a lot through that.
Wow. My goodness. Whoa. Yeah, that's I love hearing about this journey. I'm going to go back to when you were 10 years old. I think, first of all, it's interesting to me that you had this kind of prompting of sorts that you wanted to go to church. And then that you went and it was so boring and you were counting bald heads, but you kept on going back. Mm-hmm. And so I have a question about that. Do you recall in that time frame of you going, even though it was so boring and so forth, were you going out of your own will, like that you wanted to go? Or was at that point, was your grandma like, you're coming to church with me?
No, she never pressured me
you
at all.
You always made the choice. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and I can't explain it other than God was planting that seed early on.
He was drawing you in early in your life. Mm-hmm. And but so gentle, right? Man, yep. I think it's so neat how gentle he is sometimes. And then, again, that idea of the college. Well, no, okay, let me, I'm going back to your friend that passed away that was really, really hard for you. And that in addition to, I'm sure, the grief and everything else that you were dealing with, it was also a spiritual thing for you. It yes. really became this spiritual dilemma of, is there a God? Is there not a God? And almost like you had been flirting with this idea that there was a God, but then this kind of spun you into this mindset of there is no God.
Right.
And because you couldn't make sense of it. And then the fact that he drew you back to himself again, I think through the friend in college that invited you to church. And that is encouraging to me because sometimes I hesitate and I have all sorts of narratives in my head of why I'm scared to invite somebody to church. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of analyzing what I think they think yes. or what I think they're experience is or what I think their belief system is. And I think your example is such a great example of how, yes, maybe you had been in a season where you believed that there was no God and that you were kind of operating as if there was no God, but God knew. Your friend in class didn't know that you had actually had this kind of flirting relationship right. with God early on in your life, and you had walked away from that. And so I love that. That encourages me, you know, Jessica, extend an invitation at yes. any point in time. Just extend that invitation because you just never know what someone's background might be, or you never know what curiosity or what prompting they may have had in their life. And so tell me if I'm missing something, because I'm kind of going
exactly
back.
Right.
I'm just going back through what I heard, but I'm also just thinking about the way that we saw God show up in these junctures of your life. And it sounds like then it was your dating relationship with your husband was kind of the next thing you shared. And really actually you talked about going overseas first mm-hmm. and how that was so scary to you. And so you once again were like, maybe there is a God. And so therefore, maybe I need that God to be on my side.
Right. That's exactly what happened.
I need him to be on my side. Yep. So I'm going to wear a necklace and I'm going to get a painting. And therefore God will know, hey, if you ever want to show up for me when I need you, mm-hmm. I'm game. Right. Mm-hmm. Like that, right. that would be fine because I feel pretty vulnerable in this job that I have. And you were realizing that you weren't in control.
Yes.
You were realizing that there are things out there that are bigger than me that I can't control. And because of this job, it was really creating this vulnerability that you realized there are certain things that I would need a God for, mm-hmm. including something as vulnerable as this international job that you had. Yeah. And then the relationship with your fiance / you know, then mm-hmm. husband, and how I think it's amazing how God began a work on him at this mm-hmm. juncture as well. Yep. Because it seems to me that he was coming into his relationship with you very much like, nope, not interested in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the fact that it turned, that table kind of turned for him. And it seems like God just allowed a ready spirit within him. You know, he heard this comment that the pastor said in marital counseling and took it to heart, you know? And from that point forward, again, you know, I feel like God pulled him into that discipleship class. There happened to be one seat, you know, and then he was introduced to the Bible, which spurred a curiosity and a thirst within both of you to seek out churches. And also, how many people go to seek out a church and they go to one or two and then give up? Mm-hmm. And you guys didn't give up. And then, you know, and I just love the kind of tenacity of, it was almost like tenacity that you didn't know you had, you know, that you were just doing it. But now I'm kind of seeing that he gave you a tenacious spirit. Like he gave you a sense of, I'm going to pursue this until I figure it out, you know? And, mm-hmm. and then you heard the gospel and it sounds like, so I want to go to that. Mm-hmm. I want to go to you hearing the gospel. You said that you responded to an altar call. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that day?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell me about what you remember?
They were just sharing the gospel from the front, and I think I may have heard it before, and I had trouble grasping it because it seemed too simple to me. You're saying I just have to believe? I mean, that just seemed way too simple. I don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. So it took me some time to grasp that concept, that it's really not as complicated as it seems. That was hard for me in my human thinking to believe.
It seems like after all this time of it feeling like you were trying really hard to somehow have God in your life, that it probably felt like it needed to be more complicated. You know what I mean? Because it's like, well, if it were this simple, wouldn't it have happened already? You know, and instead you were, it was really, it's pretty wild. It was because you had not actually heard the message of the gospel, the good news of God, that he has made a way for us to save our souls and reunite us in relationship with him.
Right.
And you had not heard that yet. Right. You didn't know that you had a choice to make. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you said that you were kind of contemplating it and you felt like it's just too simple. And then
you I think it just finally clicked. Mm-hmm. It finally clicked. Yeah.
And on that day when you say respond to an altar call, what can you tell for anyone listening who might not know what that means?
Well, they shared the gospel and then they asked, if anybody wanted to say the prayer along with them. That's what I did. And they asked people to raise their hand. And so I did that. But I think I learned, a lot when I was becoming a believer. I think God was working on me. So by the time I heard that altar call, I was ready, for it. But through our infertility journey, I learned so much about God. And you mentioned the tenacious spirit. I can be very feisty, you know, and I did not appreciate that my plans were not coming out the way that I wanted them to. That was really hard for me. So when we were going through the infertility, I struggled a lot. And I feel like God was telling me, look, I'm in control of your life. You're not in control. And my plans are bigger and better than anything that you can imagine. And it took me a long time to come to terms with that.
Yeah. Do you believe that now?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. It's a struggle with certain things because, you know, I'm a person, I'm a planner, you know, I'm the ISTJ kind of personality type A person. I don't like surprises, you know, don't like things unexpected. And that's not the way life is. You know, we don't have control over anything. Being in control is an illusion. And so that's been a struggle for me my whole life.
Yeah.
Is to yield and surrender to his plans, even when I don't understand them, even when they're different than what I would have wanted. You know,
I can guarantee you, you're not alone. You know, and a lot of people, I mean, most people have that struggle. Now, I'm married to someone who is like spontaneous and go with the flow and spin on a dime and today say that I'm going to do this and then tomorrow do a different thing just because I feel like it. You know, that's how my husband's personality mm-hmm. is. And it has been so good for me in our marriage because of the Lord has actually prompted me to do things, not him, me. And I'm scared out of my wits to do them. I'm like, no, I don't understand this. I don't see the path. This is going to be bad. You know, I just mm-hmm. have all these scary, insecure thoughts. And when I tell my husband about it, my husband says, well, Jessica, if God's saying to do it, we should just do it, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm thinking, that's just, how is that so easy for you? It's so hard for me. And I heard you tell that when the opportunity to adopt came forward and you were just like, no, absolutely not. That's not what I want. That's not my plan. That's not what I'm going to do. And you told your husband and he was like, wait a minute, you know? And it sounds like he was kind of like my husband, just open to this idea that maybe it's different from what we had imagined. Maybe yes. it's different from what we thought. And that's really what led you down that path. And I love that, first of all, God puts us with the people that compliment us in those ways, but then also that he works through those moments to really refine us. I'm so much more open and flexible and whatever now than I was 20 years ago.
Yep, same.
And yep. most people, when they get older, they get less flexible. Mm-hmm. You know, they get more stuck in their ways. And I feel like I've gone the opposite direction, but it's only because of my relationship with God that I've gone in the opposite direction, because I've just learned that I'm not in control and he is. So I told you as we were walking in today that I'm getting on an airplane this mm-hmm. afternoon, and it's possible they might cancel the flight. I might get stuck in Denver. You know, there are all these things that could happen. And I'm like, well, I don't know what God wants. I guess I'm just going to find out where he wants me to be and when he wants me to be there whenever I attempt to go to the airport today, you know? Right. And that is not the kind of, that's not how I used to live my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to get really anxious about those kinds of things. And so I understand what you're saying about wanting the control, but I also understand the beauty of the fact that God's way is better.
Yeah. And I remember back then I was clinging on to Romans 8:28, you know, this is for my good, you know, he's working mm-hmm. for my good, even though I can't understand it. And a lot of times he works through pain. That's the best way to get our attention, right? As you know, we go through pain and then he draws us to him. He reveals his character to us. He brings us comfort. He teaches us compassion for other people. So even though I wasn't understanding what was going on or why, I had to trust in the fact that it was for my good somehow. It was mm-hmm. refining me, it was refining my character. And I've learned that his goal for us is not our happiness. It's mm-hmm. that we grow in Christ's likeness. And that happens most of the time through going through hard things. Mm-hmm. When life is good, we think we have everything going on, our life's in control, and then we tend to drift. And then I know for me, it's very evident in my life when I start that drifting, because there's lack of peace, there's, you know, fear for the future, anxiety, those sorts of things.
Yeah. Oh, I like what you said. I want to unpack that for a second. His goal for us is not our happiness. So I think that is a common misconception of Christianity, or of what people think that Christians think, or whatever. I don't know. But the reality is that we're going to face the hardships, right? We're going to go through the hard things. It's not about, are you happy? Are you not happy? It's about, do you have peace?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's the difference between peace and turmoil. It's the difference between being settled and anchored versus being in chaos, mm-hmm. you know? And maybe the world thinks that they're looking for happiness, but really the world is looking for peace.
Yep.
The world is looking for comfort in the midst of grief. The world is looking for stability in the midst of chaos. The world is looking for love in the midst of hate, right? Those are the things that our heart innately longs for based on how God has created us. And so we're not going to necessarily have just this like happy-go-lucky life. We're not necessarily going to have an easy path. It's not like he's just going to correct everything on our path like a fairy godmother or something. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. he is going to meet us in the midst of our life, in our chaos, in our grief, in our transitions. And he's going to walk with us in that. And the most amazing thing is that the abundant life he gives us is in the fact that he brings peace, he brings faithfulness, he brings security, he brings a sense of stability. He's the rock, you know, that we lean on in the midst of the storm. And I think that's what the world is looking for, and that's what he offers. So mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we wrap up, would you have any type of advice you'd like to share for someone who might be struggling to believe?
Yeah, well, I think back to myself when I was that 16-year-old girl and I didn't have anyone, you know, in my life that could guide me through. First, I would say we need to be looking out for those people in our lives, because how many times do I miss someone that's in, right in front of my face that I could help? But I would say to that person, number one, ask God to reveal himself to you, because honestly, I didn't even think to do that at that time. Get a Bible, read the Gospels. Start with the Gospel of John. Try to find community and people that can help you through that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thank you.
This has been an awesome conversation.
Yes.
Thanks for sharing your life story with us.
Thank you, Jessica.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.